Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 17. It was the night before our Lord's crucifixion. He had just instituted the Lord's Supper. In Matthew 26:30 states, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And thereafter he said to his disciples," in verse 31 of Matthew 26, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Friends, this was not a high point in these disciples' lives. The fact is, their world was caving in and caving in on them quickly. And to add insult to injury, Peter was about to deny his Lord three times. Well, what does Jesus do facing his own crucifixion, knowing that his disciples would, one would deny him and the others would be scattered, would be in fear? Well, what does he do? Well, he prays. You know, I'm glad we can pray. And he prays his high priestly prayer, which is found in John chapter 17. And again, what an appropriate moment to pray. And he prays, as we studied, first for himself, and then for his disciples, and then finally for all believers. You know, often as we study prayer in the Bible, the focus is on our prayers to God and how we are to pray. But let's take heart that God, our Savior, is praying as well. And he's praying for you and for me. God in heaven is praying for us. I'm glad for that. I need prayer. I mean, I need your prayers. And especially do I need the prayers of my God and Savior. And he is praying. He's praying even now for us. He's ever interceding, ever for us. So how thankful we can be. Now, we've looked at his prayer for himself as we've done the first couple of studies here. This evening, I want us to study the prayer he prayed for his disciples. And our focus will be first on the things Christ prayed in his prayer that he and his Father had already done for the 11, and then what they would do for them. And then secondly, I want us to see the disciples' response to Christ's prayers. Now, it seems of late the only news that we are getting is bad news. One disheartening news story after another. Those events have all made it seem that, like the disciples, we too are being overwhelmed, that we are being scattered. But as Christ's present disciples, I believe we can take heart for the things that our Lord and his Father did for the 11 disciples, they are still doing, which means we too can be and are the benefactors of our Father's, our Savior's prayers. And might our response to this wonderful news be the same as was the disciples? In studying Christ's prayer for his disciple, I see at least eight things that he and his Father had done and or were about to do for these men who were about to be tested and scattered. And the first is, Jesus manifested the Father to them. We see in verse 6, Christ prays, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." And how did our Lord do that? Well, by revealing to his disciples his own character, his own resources. And how did he do that? Through his response to the trials and the disappointments that came into his life. You know, you can tell a whole lot about a person how he or she responds when the going gets tough. And certainly Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. How did he work through the disappointments and the hardships of life with a calm and quiet trust in his Father's will. And remember, he that has seen Christ has seen the Father, John 14:9. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "This is who the Father is. As you see me, you see, you understand the Father. And you can trust him. I have, and I continue to trust my Father. I trust his will to be brought to pass in my life. And you can trust him too." And don't we need to know that? Don't we need to know that we can trust in this Heavenly Father that Christ manifested to his disciples and he wants to manifest to us? For then we too can peaceably trust our Father's will for us. Secondly, Jesus gave his disciples his Father's words. Notice verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Verse 14, "I have given them thy word." And what is an example of the Father's words to these disciples? Well, if you'll look back at chapter 16, verse 27, Christ states, "For the Father himself loveth you." That's a good thing to know. That's a good statement to know of our Heavenly Father, that the Father says, "I love you." Isn't it wonderful to know our Heavenly Father loves us? And then thirdly, Jesus told his disciples that I'm praying for you. He said, "Father, I manifested you to them. I have given them your word. I have told them that you love them." And then he tells his disciples, "I am praying for you. I am interceding for you." Notice verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." I pray. And notice verse 15. He said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world," and this is what he prays, "but that thou shouldest keep them, that thou shouldest protect them from evil, from the evil one." Christ prayed that his disciples' lives and ministries would not be overcome by the devil or by any other kind of evil. And how needful is such a prayer. I am so glad that my Savior is praying that I will not be overcome by the evil one. Aren't we glad that we have a God who is our strong protector and victory? And how do we know that we have victory? Well, Christ tells us in John 16:11, "The prince of this world is judged." His doom is already sealed. And I'm so glad for that. And Jesus prayed, "Lord, might my disciples know this fact." And then number 4, Jesus told his Father, "I am glorified in my disciples." Verse 10, "I am glorified," meaning I am honored in them. As Christ's disciples, how is this done? How does this come to pass? Well, we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, meaning we walk in obedience. We follow Christ's pattern, and thus we acknowledge him as Lord, and we worship him, and thus Christ is glorified. Jesus told his Father, "I am glorified in my disciples." I hope that our Lord can say that about your life and my life, that he is glorified, that he is honored in how we live. Christ is praying that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do what? All to the glory of God. And then number five, Jesus prayed for his disciples' preservation. He said in verse 12, or prayed, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. But then when I am gone out of this world, notice what Christ prays. Verse 11, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Keep them. Christ is saying, while I have kept them during my earthly ministry, Father, you keep them after I depart. I love that. I've kept them while I'm here, while I've been here. But I'm going away. I'm coming to see you. But Father, you keep them when I leave them. I think that's so beautiful. What can we sing then? My Heavenly Father does what? He watches over me. Are we glad we are eternally secure? Because number one, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And number two, because of the prayers of Christ. And so no man is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. And then number six, Jesus prayed that his disciples would be one. Verse 11, that they may be one as we are. And here we see the unity of the believers. And we are one when we can truthfully say, I am in Christ. And the key to being in Christ is being spiritually minded, being spiritually controlled. And when we are so together, we will stand against the wickedness of this world. Do you know how you can tell if you're one in Christ? When we stand together against sin and corruption and evil. I mean, it seems like you have some churches that promote things that are not found in God's word. I mean, how can you stand with those folk? But Christ wants us to stand together for holy, righteous living. And when we do so, we are one in him. We are standing where he's standing. We are of Christ. And then number seven, Christ prayed that his disciples might have his joy. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. John wrote in 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Psalm 16:11 speaks of, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And how powerful is this joy? Well, Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy that was set before him, before Christ, he endured the cross, he despised its shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when we have the joy of the Lord fulfilled in us, it keeps us going even through the difficult times of life. Isn't that true? I mean, when you're down and when you're dejected because you feel rejected, I mean, it's hard to keep going. But when we know that we have a Savior who is praying that his joy might be in us, we have hope, we have a future. We know that if God be for us, what or who can stand against us? You know, you can always tell if you watch a game what team is winning. Can't you? You can always tell what team is winning. The team that's winning they're having fun. They're enjoying the experience. The team that's losing, I mean, it's like, it's an awful feeling. You know what Jesus is praying for us that we know we're the winners, that we are the winners. And there's joy in knowing that we win. And then number 8, Jesus prayed for his disciples' sanctification. We see this in verses 17 and 19. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And this divine sanctification really has two parts. Remember, being sanctified means to be set apart. And so the first part here of sanctification is that we are set apart from the world, its sinful, fleshly, evil ways. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we are set apart for service. By the way, you can't really be set apart for service until you're first set apart from the world. Amen? And we see that service in verse 18. Christ prays as, thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And here is the disciples' commission. And how is this grace conferred? Well, through the truth of the written word. For God's word is truth. God's word, Christ says in John chapter 15, verse 3, tells us that we are clean, we are cleansed through the word which we have been given. And so this grace is conferred first through the written word and then through the presence of the living word. Christ promises, lo, I am with you, what? Always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:20. And so again, I say all that the Father and the Son did for the 11 disciples. Christ manifested the Father to them. Christ gave them the Father's words. Christ prayed for them, and he prayed that they be kept from the evil one. Christ told his Father, I am glorified in my disciples. Christ prayed for his disciples' preservation. Christ prayed that his disciples be one. Christ prayed that his disciples have his joy. Christ prayed for his disciples' sanctification. That's quite a prayer. What specific, needful prayers? You know, our families, our church families certainly need such prayers. Now, what was the response of the disciples to all that the Father and the Son had done and were doing for them? Well, there are three responses. Notice verse 8. And we see here that they received God's word. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have, notice what? Received them. They received them. And then secondly, they believed God's words. And we see that also in verse 8. They have believed that thou didst send me. And then they obeyed God's words. Notice verse 6, where it says, they have kept, Christ says, they have kept thy word. Isn't this beautiful? See the progression. They received God's word. They believed God's word. And they what? Obeyed God's word. Isn't that Christianity? We receive it. We believe it, and we obey it. Again, like Christ's disciples, we are living in very hard and discouraging times. Honestly, it seems that our country is imploding right before our eyes. I mean, evil is rewarded and truth is shouted down. And we say, what is going on in the United States of America? I don't even recognize this country. I mean, what happened to one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all? Where are all the defenders of our constitutional rights as U.S. citizens? Well, let me tell you, we have a defender in the God of heaven who is praying for us, who is praying for us, his present-day disciples. He is praying that we'll be kept from evil. He is praying that we will be preserved. He is praying that we might know of his joy. He is praying that the truth will grip our hearts. And I say to this true and faithful God and Savior who loves all the children of the world. We used to sing that song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Remember, we are all a part of the human race. All lives matter to Jesus. Might we be like the disciples of our Lord? Might we receive God's word as the truth that will set us free? And we receive God's word because we believe God's word gives life. Let me say that again. We receive God's word because we believe God's word gives us life. And third, and because we receive and we believe God's word, we obey it. We are doers of the word and not hearers only. And so, when in the face of these dark and evil days, we take heart in the sufficiency of Jesus' love and grace, that we know of his prayers for us. Friends, when you get discouraged, if discouragement sets in tomorrow, remember Jesus is praying for you. He's praying that you'll be kept from evil. He's praying that you will be preserved. He's praying that you might know of his joy. He is praying that the truth of his word will grip your hearts. Then you too will experience what we read in John 17:11. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I love that. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.